Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 30. In this important prophetic chapter of Scripture, we have predicted both the scattering of the nation of Israel and the regathering of the nation of Israel. Let's begin by reading the first 10 verses. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning with verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Also the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Let's begin our study of Deuteronomy chapter 30 with some background notes. We mentioned in our last talk that most likely Deuteronomy chapters 29 and 30 constituted the third sermon or address that Moses delivered to the children of Israel as they were camped on the plains of Moab, ready to cross the Jordan River and possess the land that God had given them. We mentioned that the big question about these two chapters was whether they introduced a new covenant called the Palestinian Covenant because of the words of chapter 29, verse 1. Let's read that verse once again. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1. So do chapters 29 and 30 introduce a new covenant, or are chapters 29 and 30 just a renewal of the Mosaic covenant with the new generation? That is, the generation now after the 40 years in the wilderness where the older generation died off. In other words, the former covenant was made at Mount Horeb, that is Mount Sinai, with the former generation, but now the covenant is being renewed on the plains of Moab with the new generation. Well, we can't be sure whether it's an additional covenant called the Palestinian Covenant or it's a renewal of the Mosaic Covenant. We can't be sure, but in any case, the emphasis in these two chapters, as we've seen in chapter 29, is that the children of Israel would possess the land if they kept the covenant, but they would be sent out of the land if they broke the covenant. Here in chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 30, we have predicted the good news and the bad news. The bad news is that they would break the covenant, and as a result, they would be sent out of the land. The good news is that God also revealed to Moses that after they were scattered as outcasts to the ends of the earth, the Jewish people would have a change of heart in the future and turn back to the Lord. And as a result, they would not only be restored to the Lord, but they would be brought back to the land as well. And that brings us to our doctrinal teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 30. Doctrinal point number one. Some of the predictions of Deuteronomy chapter 30 have been fulfilled in the past. Some of the predictions of Deuteronomy chapter 30 have been fulfilled in the past. Listen to the last part of Moses' sermon in verses 15 through 20. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning now with verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now we know the rest of the story. The children of Israel did not obey the Lord. They did not choose the way of life. Their heart was turned away. They did turn to the foreign gods and worship them and serve them. So they were driven out of the land and banished from the land. Verse 1. And they were scattered among the nations around the world. Verse 3. So some of the predictions of Deuteronomy chapter 30 have been fulfilled in the past. In fact, when we look at the Jewish people today scattered around the world, we see living proof of the accurate fulfillment of this prophecy. The amazing thing about this prophecy, especially when we compare Israel to so many of the other ancient peoples that no longer exist, is that the Jewish people still exist as a distinct people. They have not lost their identity, even though they have been scattered around the world. It makes possible the prediction and fulfillment of the good news of Deuteronomy chapter 30. And that brings us to our second doctrinal point for this chapter. So doctrinal point number one was, some of the predictions of Deuteronomy chapter 30 have been fulfilled in the past. And now doctrinal point number two is, some of the predictions of Deuteronomy chapter 30 await to be fulfilled in the future. Some of the predictions of Deuteronomy chapter 30 await to be fulfilled in the future. Again, notice that this chapter is a sure prophecy of Israel's future. It is not a maybe set of circumstances. Notice it is not if in verses 1 and 2, but when. Verses 1 and 2, once again. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. Verses 1 through 3. Now notice what is promised for the future for Israel. Number 1. The Jewish people would be brought back from the ends of the earth to the land that their fathers had possessed. Verses 3 through 5. The Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. Verses 3 through 5. Number 2, the Jewish people would have a change of heart and return to the Lord and would continue to be abundantly blessed if they continued to follow and obey the Lord. Verses 6 through 10. Number 3, the enemies of Israel would be judged. Verse 7. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. Now comes the big question. Have these predictions been fulfilled yet in history? Answer, partially. The Jewish people did return from their captivity in Babylon, and God has judged certain of the enemies of Israel throughout history. But the Jewish people have never returned to the land of Israel from the ends of the earth until modern times. And they certainly have not yet returned to the Lord. They continue to reject their Messiah. And the enemies of Israel still exist. In fact, some of them want to annihilate Israel. But the story is not over yet. The fact that the Jewish people are going back to the land that was given to their fathers is just the beginning of the blessings to come in the future when the Lord returns. In the meantime, the enemies of Israel will continue and in fact increase. But as a result, many of the Jewish people will turn back to the Lord and be given a new heart in the future. What a great time that will be. We don't believe these prophecies are being fulfilled in the church today. The church has not replaced Israel, and the church is not the new Israel. And the land that was possessed of the fathers and is promised here to the Jewish people who return is not some spiritualized gospel land or church land or heaven, but is the literal land of Canaan or Palestine. So some of the prophecies of Deuteronomy chapter 30 await to be fulfilled in the future. Now what about practical application from Deuteronomy chapter 30? Thank the Lord that getting saved is not all that difficult. Thank the Lord that getting saved is not all that difficult. For our practical application, let's read verses 11 through 14 of Deuteronomy chapter 30, the verses that we haven't read yet. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, or not hidden from you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. The point of these verses is that it was not that difficult for the children of Israel to do what God desired, to do what God wanted. He was not asking them to do the impossible, like fly up to heaven, or even something costly and hard, like making a pilgrimage to a far country. No, just love the Lord and follow Him and be obedient to Him. The prophet Micah captured this essence of God's desire when he wrote in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, "And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Micah 6, 8. In Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul quoted these verses from Deuteronomy chapter 30 and applied them to the gospel. I'm reading Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So the Apostle Paul is applying these verses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, which was given to Israel in reference to, hey, it's not that difficult to follow the Lord. The Apostle Paul now is quoting them in Romans chapter 10 in reference to the gospel. In other words, it's not that difficult. So Paul applies them to the gospel, as we just read, and then Paul concludes with a simple, straightforward way to get saved. In Romans 10, the end of verse 8 and verse 9. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. Paul's point is that it is not difficult to get saved. Aren't you glad? Thank the Lord that getting saved is not all that difficult.